Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to this podcast ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app today.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like trying to find a needle in a haystack. You get too many resumes and not enough qualified candidates. But not with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds amazing candidates for you fast. ZipRecruiter's technology starts showing you qualified people for your job immediately. Ditch the other hiring sites and let ZipRecruiter help you find the needle in the haystack. Try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/ZipDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ZipDaily.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
Good morning. Jane Pauley is off this weekend. I'm Seth Doan, and this is Sunday Morning. This past week in Chicago, Kamala Harris formally accepted the Democratic Party nomination for president. Of course, she's already the first woman in American history to serve as vice president, and her candidacy comes at a time when more women than ever are serving in Congress and the nation's statehouses, providing role models on both sides of the aisle. A few weeks ago, Jane Pauley returned to Indiana, where she grew up, to meet some young women involved in Girl State, a program that's been educating and engaging young people for 80 years.
It was so good to meet you too.
It's a week that changes lives, when we all feel so divided.
What does it mean to be an American?
High school girls learning to build bridges.
My main goal, if I
to speak out.
How do you think politics would be different if attending Boy State or Girl State was a requirement for all students?
Then we would be in a lot better of a place.
The remarkable 87-year-old American tradition.
Guys, if I die, it'll be for a good cause.
Girl State, coming up on Sunday Morning.
The Rolling Stones formed more than 60 years ago, and they've been making music and breaking records ever since. Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, and Ronnie Wood will sit down with Anthony Mason to discuss milestones, music, and much more.
Hi, Keith.
Hi, Keith.
What is he doing here?
I'm with you.
Hi, Ronnie.
The Rolling Stones hit the road this summer behind their first album of new songs in 18 years. Why are you angry
with me? Some people are resistant to hearing anything new.
That's natural, but you've got to make sure that what you put out new is going to be good.
Don't get angry with me. Mick, Keith, and Ronnie.
Good.
The Rolling Stones, ahead on Sunday Morning.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Electric cars are all over our roads these days, but this morning David Pogue sets his sights higher, a lot higher, to imagine the electric future of air travel.
Electric planes are quieter, safer, and cheaper to fly than gas planes, and much cleaner.
Aviation is on track by 2035 to be the number one producer of carbon in transportation.
But they also don't need runways or even airports.
Wow.
You can create a place for these vehicles to take off and land that are very near your points of destination.
Flying cargo vans and air taxis, lifting off soon on Sunday Morning.
As you may know, I spend most of my time in Italy, among other things, the birthplace of opera. This morning, we'll introduce you to some singers working to break down cultural barriers, one aria at a time. Faith Saley's journey is closer to home. She heads uptown to a New York City landmark celebrating its 150th year. Tracy Smith will take us to the Rug Mine, where a California entrepreneur shares the work of women from her homeland, Afghanistan. plus humor from author David Sedaris, a story from Steve Hartman, and Connor Knighton is off to a town whose bookstores speak volumes. It's a Sunday morning for August 25th, 2024, and we'll be back after this.
Hiring is challenging, especially when you're a business owner with a lot on your plate. Thankfully, there's a place you can go for help, ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter does the work for you to make hiring fast and easy. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Experience faster, easier hiring with ZipRecruiter. Try it free at ziprecruiter.com/zipdaily. That's ziprecruiter.com/zipdaily.
Hey, it's CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett with a message from our sponsor, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. You've seen the headlines, quote, AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry and literally billions of dollars are being invested. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber 8x8 and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/CBS. That's oracle.com/CBS. oracle.com/CBS.
This morning, Jane Pauley is revisiting a treasured time from her past, a civic education program known as Girls State, where aspiring and inspiring young women pursue dreams of perhaps someday becoming presidents or governors, or maybe even news anchors.
Robert. What?
At a time when so many of us feel so bitterly divided, we thought, why not a reminder of how politics could be?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation.
We're in Angola, Indiana, for a week that will change 300 girls' lives. It's the summer before their senior year, and they're the latest participants in Hoosier Girls State.
The meeting will come to order.
Today, I want to talk to you about a vision of diversity and inclusion among all citizens in Girls State.
Yes, we do it.
Every woman deserves access to comprehensive, compassionate, and affordable health care.
Yeah. It was so good to meet you two. I think I've met you guys before.
Oh, welcome to the dorm.
For 82 years, young women learning about government, what it means to make laws and campaign.
Let me be the voice to shout for us women that we are here.
And right now, 15 of them are running for governor.
I'm the eldest of four sisters.
The highest office at Girls State.
F-E-D-S-S-S-S!
They're split into two fictional parties, the Federalists and the Nationalists.
As for me, I strongly believe in the power of advocacy for voices who go unheard.
My general platform is SET, or Set for Success, and that stands for Sustainability, Equity, and Transparency.
I'm Asha.
No, don't.
I'm Ella.
I sat down with four of the candidates for governor. Asha Adhikari, Priscilla Smith, Ivy Zen, and Ella McGrath.
How long did you have to introduce yourself to people who you would hope later would vote for you?
Let's see, we got here Sunday afternoon, and then if you wanted to run for governor, I think it was Monday, sometime in the morning, we had to file. Mm-hmm. And so we barely had any time, and then we could start campaigning, I think, at noon on Monday.
Did any of you come because a career in public service might be in the cards for you?
I definitely want to be a public servant, because I've seen that nothing is more powerful than giving back to others.
There you go.
Oh, okay, yeah, I was a medal escort for the Olympic trials.
Do you think young women are more supportive of each?
100% girlhood. Yes. Yeah, girls supporting girls.
It was so empowering and enlightening.
Every summer, all 50 states hold versions of Girls and Boys State, programs with alumni like President Bill Clinton and Texas Governor Ann Richards, Bruce Springsteen, and Rush Limbaugh, and 16-year-old me.
But I, in fact, was once a governor of Hoosier Girls State. And thank you, which was one of the stunning honors of my life. Discovering that I had a talent in something that wasn't cheerleading was a revelation. And that's pretty much why I'm here today.
I still remember the elation and all the nerves I had that week in Bloomington, Indiana, 57 years ago.
Civil rights leader Martin Luther King leads the procession to the United Nations, where he urges UN pressure to force the U.S. to stop bombing North Vietnam.
Back then, it was the height of the tensions of the 60s.
Pacifists and hippies together.
Today, these girls say they feel divisions, too.
Today, polarization means something kind of scary. Do you have any experience with that?
So I feel like in the world we live in now, it's hard to put your beliefs out there and what you stand for without making other people upset, either like losing friends or making family members upset.
And it's kind of difficult to like really be able to vocalize your ideas. Mm-hmm. You would describe it as like cloudy, kind of like downcast, with people being kind of scared to go out and like really say what they feel.
A lot of pro-lifers aren't actually pro-life. They're pro-birth. Now that is a big difference.
But at Girls State, there's a place to air it out.
We are taking steps back as a society. Instead of moving forward with us having the right to do what we want with our bodies, men are taking it away from us again. Y'all gonna get me to cussing.
That was shot two summers ago at Missouri's program for the 2024 Apple TV documentary, Girls State.
I probably won't own an AR, but theoretically I like the idea that I have the right to.
Emily Worthmore is now a college sophomore.
You have a shot in the dark, right? Okay, an AR is going to be a lot more accurate.
They say Girls State is a transformative experience. Was it transformative for you?
I would say that Girls State is the most life-changing week of my life.
People at my school don't know if I'm conservative or liberal, and I kind of like that. I don't want to say what I am and then have half the room stop listening before I even get a chance to speak. But I'm really hoping that coming out of Girls State, I'm going to be just openly, I'm conservative, like, let's talk about it.
It's really participatory democracy for young people to figure out, how do we do this thing?
Jesse Moss and his wife, Amanda McBain, directed Girls State.
What do you believe in?
And before that, the documentary, Boys State.
I want to hear open debates.
So in other words, you're waiting for the party to come up with an opinion, and then you're going to go with the party. What do you?
Boys State, Girls State. Both of them have been around for decades.
Right, so why now?
And why now worthy of a film?
We're parents of teenagers. I think that's part of our investigation is personal. How are kids coming of age politically in this kind of incredible moment we're in our country? We're very divided. How do people talk to one another when their politics are so divided? How do people from big cities meet people from small towns? We all have our silos on social media or whatever.
We are all qualified.
We are all qualified.
I can confidently speak in front of hundreds of girls.
How do you think politics would be different if attending Boy State or Girl State was a requirement for all students?
If there was a way to make that happen, then we would be in a lot better of a place because, A, people would be voting more, and that's just the most important thing, right?
Hello, Federalists! Chances are that you've already met me, but my name is Emily Worthmore, and I'm running for governor.
Emily didn't win the election, but she tells us the experience at Girl State will shape the rest of her life.
That's what the program stresses, is just left or right, just participate. Participate in democracy. Who's representing your city? Who's representing your county? Who's representing you?
Decision, and I want to know what they're going to do with it.
There'd be a lot more representation of women. It would help more people get out and exercise their voice.
USA! 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 USA!
t'apprivoiser. Et c'est bien au vin qu'on l'appelle, s'il lui convient de refuser.
When you think about opera, a pretty staid and conventional picture probably comes to mind. But just who graces opera stages is changing, as I found out not long ago in Rome. She'd come to Italy, the birthplace of opera, to refine her technique.
We were talking about the other day, the first day we worked.
But American Hannah Janae Jones has a bigger goal in appearing on stage.
I want to give more Black people and people of color that experience of seeing someone who looks like them.
Jones, who grew up in Texas, was among 14 singers from a dozen countries selected to come to Rome free of charge for a program aimed at broadening opera's appeal and base. Do you think opera is inaccessible?
I always thought about it subconsciously as an art form that was for, you know, rich people. And to be honest, I thought it was only, you know, a white thing.
That's what Opera for Peace is trying to change.
My father was from India. I am not from what is considered to be a historical operatic superpower.
Instructor Kamal Khan is among the co-founders.
The future of opera is global if it's going to have one. And then it's really up to us to provide both access, standards, connections, supportive ear.
We saw that a lot of young people, young talents, needed help, and we wanted to give it to them.
For you, it meant leaving a job at the opera in Paris.
Exactly. I was deputy casting director.
Juliet Laga-Huzer came up with the idea after seeing a lack of diversity at auditions. And talent not developed at the right moment.
When you come from a social economic background where this kind of career is very difficult, then you need even more help.
I know the power of getting an opportunity that changes your whole life.
My grandfather didn't have shoes till he was maybe like 13, 14 years old. And so to have that kind of background and then end up in a place like this, it's extremely humbling for me.
This space, Villa Medici, has humbled and inspired for centuries. On this day, it was hosting opera singers, but artistic programming here at the French Academy in Rome has a history stretching back to the mid-1600s, including artists, sculptors, and architects.
For me, everything changed.
Firouz Rezavi is an Opera for Peace alum.
I was singing totally different roles, like totally different arias.
As a teenager in Iran, she'd started an R&B group, Wantons, recording but not revealing herself.
Nobody knew it was me. I couldn't show my face. Like, otherwise, you know, stuff can happen.
Her family helped her get from Tehran to Vienna, where she was introduced to opera. She had interest, but not much support.
Oh, it's like you're from Iran, like this land that is like so far away from classical music, you know? And I've always felt like I have to do more to kind of impress people. But then all of a sudden there's this foundation that is actually acknowledging that even a person from outside this like sphere can actually be as good as the people inside. It was just such an empowering and like a winning moment.
You didn't do so many singers.
Through master classes and mentoring, they're developing this next generation of more diverse performers who can change career trajectories.
Let your soul take you where you long to be.
I went to see Phantom of the Opera, and it was Norm Lewis who was actually performing as the Phantom, but it was something seeing someone who looks like me on a big stage like that, that just sparked something in me.
Now she's an ambassador of this art form, as that spark propels her to ever bigger stages.
As summer winds down, let your imagination soar by listening on Audible. Whether you listen to stories, motivation, expert advice, any genre you love, you can be inspired to imagine new worlds, new possibilities, new ways of thinking. With Audible, there's more to imagine when you listen. And speaking of listening, you can listen to the best-selling science fiction thriller, Project Hail Mary, by Andy Weir right now on the Audible app and traverse the galaxy in a desperate last-chance mission along with astronaut Ryland Grace, all from the comfort of your living room. As an Audible member, you choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Fasten your seatbelt. With David Pogue, we're taking off on a voyage to the future.
I'm in a chase plane high over Lake Champlain in Vermont to observe one of the world's first electric airplanes. And I do mean chase plane.
I can't even keep up with him. I'm full power and he's walking away from me.
Our pilot is Chris Caputo.
Come on, man, step on it.
I can't do anything else, David. I don't have afterburner.
For years, you've been able to watch cool-looking electric plane videos on YouTube, created by some of the 300 companies who are working on them. But Beta Technologies in Burlington, Vermont is unique.
I believe we're the only company flying people.
Kyle Clark is Beta's CEO and founder. Its electric plane can carry 6 people and flies 250 miles on one charge.
But every year, batteries get better and better, about 7% per year. That means in 7 years, we'll double that. In another 7 years, we'll double that again.
So you think before you and I die that we will fly on an electric-powered jetliner?
Yes, absolutely.
Traditional airplanes pump out about 1 billion tons of carbon dioxide every year. Electric planes produce no emissions at all, and that's only their first advantage.
One of the things that I think is underappreciated in electric aviation is that it's quiet. You can actually hear the wind noise over the fuselage. You feel like a bird.
Electric motors are much simpler than jet engines, too. They contain a tenth as many parts. Furthermore, electric planes cost far less to fly, since electricity costs only about a 40th as much as jet fuel. But maybe the most impressive advantage of electric planes is that they can do this.
Wow!
These planes are known in the biz as eVTOLs, a clumsy acronym for Electric Vertical Takeoff and Landing. They don't need a runway to take off, but they can still fly forward the usual way.
The propellers on the front are used in both forms of flight. In the hover portion of the flight, they're tilted up. The 6 propellers in the back are just used in the lifting portion of the flight, so the hover portion of the flight.
Adam Goldstein is the founder and CEO of Archer Aviation, an eVTOL company in San Jose, California, devoted to creating air taxis. You'll board the air taxi from a so-called vertiport downtown and then fly to the airport, for example, to catch your traditional flight. Goldstein says your eVTOL flight will cost about as much as an Uber or Lyft ride.
There's lots of traffic that will congest the roads in between the city centers and those airports. Yeah. Manhattan to a JFK is a great example where it's actually not that far on the ground, but takes a really long time using ground transportation.
Well, this sounds great. Planes that are faster, safer, cheaper, more reliable, and better for the environment. So, what's the holdup?
You're talking about a class of airplanes that did not exist?
Aerospace consultant Sergio Cicuta can tell you what the last hurdle is. The Federal Aviation Administration.
The FAA is a very complex task. They make sure that we can walk onto one of the planes and be in no more danger than getting out of bed.
The need for FAA approval explains two strange aspects of Beta's plane. First, it's available with or without its vertical propellers. Clark believes that it will be easier to get initial FAA approval for a traditional plane than one that takes off vertically. As for the second strange thing, Beta's goal isn't creating air taxis.
There are a lot of ways that we can make a meaningful dent on the emissions of aviation before we start to do the thing that everybody talks about, jumping over traffic.
Yeah.
Moving cargo, moving medical, all of those things happen first.
Really? The world's first electric planes will make history by carrying boxes?
Let's point out, cargo room.
Yes.
For consultant Cicuta, that makes perfect sense.
All the way back there.
Exactly.
One of the goals from Amazon is to have the majority of their products to be available the same day in large metropolitan areas. What if I can actually take off and land from one warehouse to the other warehouse and move this cargo? I always think of the Beta airplane as the Amazon truck with wings.
Today, every airline has a desperate pilot shortage. That's one reason that most eVTOLs will eventually be self-flying.
In the 2030s, 2040s, there's going to be a very good chance that you're going to walk into an airplane where there's no pilot.
But in the near term, the FAA will require a pilot.
So with your left hand, just slowly pick up the lift lever.
Oh, I can actually feel vibration.
The aircraft's going to lift off the ground.
Fortunately, flying these planes isn't rocket science, as Beta pilot Chris Caputo showed me in Beta's simulator.
Can we fly over the lake?
Absolutely. So now what we're going to do is we're going to transition onto the wing of the plane.
Oh, okay.
Just push forward with your right hand a little bit, a little forward pressure. So now we're just flying on the wing of the plane. We're literally just sipping energy.
After 20 simulated minutes flying over simulated Lake Champlain, it was time to simulated land.
Touchdown. Thank you for flying Air Pogue.
You're very welcome.
We know that you have a choice when it comes to electric aircraft. Actually, you don't.
Beta and Archer have received millions of dollars worth of orders from various airlines and military branches. Both of them, plus an air taxi company called Joby, have already delivered some planes to the Air Force. All three companies expect to receive FAA approval and begin flying in the U.S. next year. On the day of our visit, Beta Technologies unveiled its new factory, the first electric plane plant outside of China. Among the dignitaries in attendance, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
So it is an extraordinary day, not just for Vermont or for the country, but I think for aviation and in taking on climate change as well.
Why Vermont? It seems like all the engineers and the programmers are in Silicon Valley.
In Vermont, there's a heavy awareness of climate change. And having a group of people working on this that not only are really good at what they do, but they care about the mission, gives them a little extra oomph at 2 a.m. when we're trying to get ready for a flight test the next morning.
We are cleared to land.
Among those passionate Vermont employees, former Delta pilot Chris Caputo.
I haven't flown this aircraft in a while, so don't judge my landing too much, guys.
Did you take a pay cut to come here?
I did. A pretty healthy pay cut. But it's more about the mission that this company is on to decarbonize aviation and do something good for our planet, our country, and the world, and you know, your kids, my kids, and the next generation.
This episode is brought to you in part by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This podcast is supported by Progressive, a leader in boat insurance. Welcome aboard to Carefree Boating. Here we don't worry about the what-ifs because we explore with Progressive Boat Insurance for as little as $100 per year for a basic liability policy. Progressive also offers a variety of other coverages and can help you cover repair costs when you need it. And with discounts like multi-policy, safety courses, responsible driver, and more, your mind can really float free. Cruise on over to Progressive.com to get a quote today and see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Rate and discounts not available in all states or situations.
We're off on a Sunday morning diversion, the first of a collection of now and again stories taking us to spots off the beaten path, sometimes way off the beaten path. First up, Connor Knighton looking between the covers at a town books put on the map.
Nestled in the northern Catskills, the tiny village of Hobart, New York, is home to around 400 residents and millions of fascinating characters. Scarlett O'Hara and Captain Ahab, mechanical men and Victorian women, all stacked high on shelves. Hobart is a book village. Within one brief block of Main Street, there are seven different bookstores.
Have a great day.
Enjoy the rest of your treasure hunt in the book village.
Thank Thanks. You.
When Kathy Dwyer retired, she moved to Hobart to surround herself with beautiful scenery and plenty of books. She initially had no intention of selling them. She was buying them.
For about the first 2 years we were here, we were the best customers of the book village that they'd ever had.
But she and her husband eventually opened two small shops, one that sells cooking and crafting books, and another focused on all aspects of New York.
We really try not to overlap very much on what we carry so that there's something different in every shop.
There's a shop that specializes in mysteries. Behind the children's library, another shop stocks niche travel books. The village was inspired by Hay-on-Wye, a thriving Welsh book town that's become a world-renowned destination for bibliophiles.
Had you ever been to Hay-on-Wye?
No.
Are you a big book guy?
No.
And yet?
I'm kind of an entrepreneur, though.
Don Dales grew up near Hobart, which was once a key supply stop for the surrounding agricultural industry. When he moved back to the area 2.5 decades ago, times had changed.
This town was a ghost town. I always say that tumbleweed was going down Main Street. It was depressing.
Dales purchased several buildings on Main Street. Around that same time, a couple from Manhattan moved to town and opened the William H. Adams Antiquarian Bookstore. Dales thought there might actually be strength in numbers, so he started turning his buildings into more bookstores.
And I went out and I bought a lot of books and a lot of lumber and made a lot of bookshelves.
Old books gave Hobart a new identity and new residents, like retired professors Barbara Ballier and Cheryl Clark, the proprietors of Blenheim Hill Books.
I think Barbara had always fantasized about having a bookstore because of her love of books. I did it. I just wanted to retire.
Clark knows a thing or two about books. She's published several collections of her poetry. She also knows a lot of writers.
Welcome everyone to the 11th annual Hobart Festival of Women Writers.
Clark co-founded an annual weekend of female-focused readings and workshops in Hobart.
In the second stanza, the second line, the phrase that I used was, "This precious, this hateful earth."
Writers and readers now make pilgrimages to Hobart, in part for what the town represents.
Oh, hey, you found something?
Hey, yeah.
They like to feel like they're in a place where books matter. Because I think a lot of people are in places where books don't matter. And so when they come here, they're so happy. Really, I found it quite strange at first. You know, I was like, okay.
But quite moving.
Very moving, yeah.
You won't find all the latest bestsellers in Hobart. Almost everything here is secondhand. And nobody here is getting rich. For the shop owners, these stores are a labor of love. A new chapter in their lives.
Do you like mysterious stories?
I do, yes.
Is this a mysterious story?
It looks pretty mysterious to me. What do we got? Ulysses Moore.
Just $2 will get you a book and a cookie at Mihaly Azgarian's table at the Hobart Farmers Market.
Who knows? He may one day open the village's eighth bookstore.
So I think this will...
Don Dales thinks there's still room to grow.
People like a book. They like to see them on the shelves. They like to see the spine of the book and say, oh, I remember that book. That was a wonderful book. And besides, a home without books, that's a boring home, unless it has a cat.
Author and contributor David Sedaris has thoughts about just how we talk to our phones.
I was in a restaurant when the fellow at the next table picked up his phone. Siri, he commanded, call Paul Bauer. Oh, right, I thought. That can be done. By other people, I mean. The first thing I do when getting a new phone or iPad is to disconnect Siri. In part because she's so maddeningly obsequious, but mainly because she feels like cheating. A shortcut to what's already a pretty extraordinary shortcut. If I want to know how many vodka tonics it might take to kill someone my older sister's height and weight, the least I can do is type the questions into Google. The way you talk to a person says a lot about you, of course, but so too does the way you talk to a device. I think of all the people I know who will use a GPS, rely on it for everything, then turn on it when they near their destination. Will you shut up already? Then there are those like my friend Patsy. The two of us were driving from Nashville to Knoxville not long ago and decided to stop midway so I could see where she went to college. Hey Siri, she said in a tone that suggested fun, can you get me directions to Suwanee, Tennessee? In what seemed to me like no time at all, Siri answered, I can't find that. The University of the South, Patsy said, in Suwanee, Tennessee? I can't find that. Patsy lowered her voice and turned to me. She does this all the time now. I whispered back, it seems to me like she's not even trying. Siri, Patsy said, can you please get me directions to... She named a town that was close to Suwanee, figuring we could make it from there to the college on our own. When Siri came back with the information, Patsy thanked her with what seemed like genuine gratitude. Mixed into it was a hint of pride, the sort you feel when you're patient with a terribly old person or someone who's new on the job and hasn't quite figured out the register. If Siri was a person, you knew that Patsy would give her a big bonus at Christmas, and that Siri would use that money to fly home for the holidays and say, when asked about work by her parents, my boss, she's pretty cool. I mean, yeah, I really like her.
A landmark here in New York City turns 150 this year. Faith Saley takes us to the 92nd Street Y.
At the 92nd Street Y in Manhattan, you'll find folks doing exactly what you'd expect at a community center. Swimming, playing basketball, creating. But what if I told you Groucho Marx used the gym here, Martha Graham taught dance here, and Albert Einstein was in this room.
He was here in this room, looked up, saw his name. I think he thought maybe he had made it finally.
As CEO Seth Pinsky tells it, the 92nd Street Y's remarkable history stemmed from a simple mission.
The 92nd Street Y was founded 150 years ago by a group of German Jewish civic leaders who saw a large number of Eastern European Jews coming to the United States, and they felt that that population needed a home, a safe place, and they said, let's create a Jewish version of the YMCA.
Who is welcome here?
Everyone is welcome.
The famed Kauffman Concert Hall is emblematic of this welcoming spirit.
We are sitting on an incredibly historic stage. What do you think when you walk in here?
It's an amazing place. I mean, when you stop and think about the people who have appeared here, the events that have occurred here.
Truman Capote first read from In Cold Blood here And Kurt Vonnegut debuted Breakfast of Champions.
Not even my wife has seen it.
Emma Lazarus, when she wrote the words to the poem that gives voice to the Statue of Liberty, she was teaching English to Jewish immigrants here at the 92nd Street Y.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The stage has played host to Holocaust survivors, musicians, Supreme Court justices, scientists, politicians, not to mention some of the biggest names in film, TV, theater, and comedy. In 1960, this choreographer premiered Revelations, now one of his most well-known works.
Why do you think that someone like Alvin Ailey was welcomed here at the 92nd Street Y when he wasn't welcomed anywhere else?
Jews have a long history of being excluded, and as a result of that, it's a very important value for us not to exclude others for the same reason.
Last fall, not long after the October 7th Hamas-led attacks on Israel, the 92nd Street Y drew heat for choosing to postpone an event with an author who was publicly critical of Israel. The Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist maintains he was given notice of a cancellation last minute before some organizers moved the event to a local bookstore not affiliated with 92NY. But as changing times present new challenges, Pinsky says they are still guided by one of their founding values, tikkun olam.
Tikkun olam is a Hebrew phrase that means to repair the world. And that's a very important part of what we do. We're trying to enrich people's lives. We're trying to build community.
Programming ranges from ceramics to parenting to art history, as well as a nursery school, performances,
let's dance!
And the famed 92NY talk series.
Why? Because I was in love with Tarzan.
But
the A and the G.
82-year-old Lincoln Field has been taking guitar lessons from Ed McKechnie for decades.
Is that it? That's perfect.
A few floors below, Joanne Krantz is busy bejeweling herself at the famed jewelry center.
Did you make your necklace?
I did.
You made that?
I did.
Peter Stokes jumped into a pickup basketball game here nearly 50 years ago, and he's never stopped coming for cardio and camaraderie.
It's also a great meeting place to meet people. You know, since I started playing basketball, I have lifelong friends now.
A century and a half ago, the founders of the 92nd Street Y may not have foreseen all that it would become, but Seth Pinsky is sure their vision has remained true.
It's a place for people. It's a place for people to make their lives more meaningful. It's a place for people to connect to other people and not feel alone and isolated. And I don't see that changing in the coming 150 years in any way.
You know that saying about walking a mile in another man's shoes? As Steve Hartman discovered, those words still resonate.
Nothing gets past Minneapolis bus driver Jane Arndt Verhelst. Tire pressure, seats clean, all systems go. But recently, Jane noticed a problem outside her bus. It was about a month ago. She was approaching this intersection when she saw a woman standing in the middle of the road.
And then when I opened up the door, that's when I really saw her. I saw her from head to toe, and I was just like, wow.
The woman, who appeared to be homeless, wasn't wearing any shoes.
I can't imagine what it's like walking around in bare feet on the hot pavement and just nobody sees you. She's just kind of invisible, you know?
You don't have any shoes!
But not to Jane, who immediately took the shoes off her own feet.
Here's one. Here's another.
And gave them to her.
No, no, she's getting my shoes. Oh, okay.
I knew that you're not supposed to drive in your socks. It's a big no-no. But I couldn't help it.
Several riders witnessed that moment. But perhaps no one was more touched by it than this woman. Sarah Selden had been homeless before. She knows how meaningful a simple kindness can be.
It really, like, affected me because, like, it was like, oh my gosh, she sees this woman.
We're often told to put ourselves in someone else's shoes. But in certain moments, it's almost more important to let that someone stand in ours.
Navigating the sea of endless streaming is made simple with any Fire TV streaming device. Spend less time scrolling and more time enjoying what you love with your favorite shows, movies, music, and sports all in one place. And now, when you purchase any Fire TV streaming device, you get to enjoy 6 whole months MGM Plus completely ad-free. It's Fire TV's gift to you. Featuring thousands of movies, exclusive, acclaimed original series, and classics. From the epic western Billy the Kid, to the award-winning Godfather of Harlem, to the return of the psychological thriller From, MGM Plus has it all. Enjoy the stream of your dreams with a Fire TV streaming device. Visit amazon.com/FireTVMGM to learn more. Terms apply. Limited time offer.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
It's Sunday morning on CBS, and here again is Seth Doan.
After 6 decades, dozens of albums, and scores of hits, what more could the Rolling Stones possibly have to say? Well, turns out plenty, as Anthony Mason recently discovered.
The Rolling Stones' summer tour may have been sponsored by the American Association of Retired Persons, AARP, but the band is anything but retired.
Don't get angry with me!
The Hackney Diamonds Tour supported their first album of original music in 18 years.
Do you like working in this place?
Yeah, it's an old friend of ours, Electric Lady.
At Electric Lady Studios in New York,
Jimmy,
where the band worked on the record, we caught up with Keith Richards.
Is it like getting on a bike when you guys go in the studio?
Pretty much, but you're not sure if the tires are pumped up.
What is he doing here?
I'm with you.
Over in London, Mick Jagger and Ronnie Wood joined us.
So how did this come about?
Well, my recollection is that Mick said, what we need to do is say, let's make an album, let's blitz it. Basically, that was the impetus.
We used to have a record ready to go out on tour, so there was a deadline. So then we more or less did what we said we planned to do.
Which is really unusual.
Yeah, really unusual. And I think I said to Keith, it's going to be finished by Valentine's Day. And Keith looked at me like...
How quickly do you know in a recording studio when you have something?
You've got to give it a minute. You can't be dismissive if you don't get it in the first 1 minute. But you kind of get to know in 10 minutes, if I'd say.
Yeah. It doesn't take long to know if something's really there and whether it's worth chasing.
And it's a bit like a painting. You construct, you do the first layout, and then you give it a breath. You know,
yes,
go away.
You are a painter.
Well, we don't have that. But let him have his analogy.
Come back and build the jigsaw, you know.
I love
those
that.
People aren't Van Gogh, man.
Van Gogh away, please.
Don't get angry with me.
The album's lead single, Angry, started with a lyric from Jagger.
I was just playing guitar in the Caribbean on my own and just came up with the idea. And then I took it to the next level with Keith.
And then Mick and I, we kind of kick each other up the ass. And then, oh, I like that, I don't like that. And whatever it is, it's a sort of chemistry.
But the band's chemistry was rocked. When drummer and founding member Charlie Watts died in 2021.
Did you feel the need to put an album out?
I think maybe because of Charlie's demise, that we felt that they are, if the Stones were going to continue, then we better make a mark of what the Stones are now.
Was it hard for you on tour to look back and not see Charlie there?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's all my life, ever since I was 19 or whatever, it's always been Charlie.
On some level, it had to be emotional not to have Charlie.
Of course, it's emotional, but you have to get past that in life. You know, I love Charlie, all the things, but I still want to carry on making music.
The Stones now tour with new drummer Steve Jordan. But Watts plays on two tracks on the album, including one with the Stones' original bassist, Bill Wyman, who left the band in 1993.
Did Bill have to be coaxed to come back, Bill Wyman?
No, not at all. I phoned him and I said, are you still playing the bass even? I was like, it's a bit worried. I said, what do you mean? I play it every day, I'm making an album. I said, great, Bill, you come and do this track.
Yeah.
Because Charlie's on it and I like it to be reunited, the original rhythm section would be a cool idea.
When those original Rolling Stones first formed in London in 1962, they never imagined it would last.
I remember when we had the first hit record, we kind of looked at each other with like dismay, saying, well, we've got about 2 years, boys, and then you've got to find a job.
Six decades later, they're still one of the biggest touring acts in the world.
We just are pioneers in a way that no one's done 60 years of rock and roll ever.
Ronnie Wood, at 77, the youngest Stone.
Do you paint every day?
Well, when I can, yeah, when I'm not playing the guitar.
Has a side gig as a painter.
I'm inspired here, for instance, by Delacroix. That's what keeps me going, and then I go, wow, you know, we're going to play music next, and it just one runs into the other.
His two artistic passions merge on tour.
There's Coachella.
When he makes these set lists after every show, it's a kind of memoir.
Oh, that was when that happened. That's what we played.
Do you know how many shows you've done?
No. No way.
Have you ever considered writing a memoir?
Oh, yeah, I've considered it, and I've been offered a lot of money.
And?
And I've seen people do it, and it takes like 2 years. They're living 2 years in their past.
And that doesn't appeal to you?
That does not appeal to me. So someone else will just have to remember it for me.
Both Jagger and Richards are now octogenarians.
Yeah, yes, yes. The big 80.
How does that feel?
I asked Mick, because he's 6 months older than me.
Yes.
And he says it's not that different.
How did it feel to hit that mark?
Well, it's a bit overblown, you know. It's not all it's cracked up to be, being 80, I don't think. There's no really options here.
Yeah.
You're either going to get there or you're not.
Well, you've gotten there in pretty good shape.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. Pleased to meet you.
He's singing the best he's ever sang, I think, now. That's another reason we've got to keep going. When you got it, flaunt it, you know?
Why do you think you guys have endured?
I think we love each other and we love our music. And when you're doing it, you don't really think about it. But I think with Charlie going, I've realized more and more that how special that is. I mean, there's something about the Stones and there's something about us all that sort of said, no, we stick together.
Yeah.
And then you can't just drop it, you know. You got to follow it right down to the end, down the tunnel, you know.
As you said, it's bigger than all of you.
Yeah, it is. Damn thing.
This summer, get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Get the hottest deals of the season on many of our award-winning Hyundai models, which all come with America's best warranty. But get going, because these deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now for a limited time, get 1.99% APR for 60 months on the Hyundai Tucson or Elantra. Hurry into the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end September 3rd. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
We all have passions that drive us, and since 1934, Fram's driving passion has been focused on protecting your vehicle. Fram's premium industry-leading filters are designed to optimize your vehicle's performance and keep the air you breathe clean. Whether it's an oil, engine, or cabin air filter, Fram keeps you moving forward with innovative filtration technology designed for what drives you. So find your passion, and we'll make sure you get there with confidence. Visit Fram.com for more info and retailers near you.
It's a truly storied part of our national heritage, facing problems very much of today. Contributor and historian Douglas Brinkley takes us to Walden Pond.
A half an hour drive from Boston, Massachusetts, in the town of Concord, sits one of the most revered literary landscapes in the world, the 2,680-acre Walden Woods and Walden Pond State Reservation. Annually, over a half a million people pay homage to the storied pond and spiritually nourishing woods where Henry David Thoreau wrote his 1854 classic book, Walden. During his 2 years, 2 months, and 2 days living there, Thoreau treated every creature he encountered, from a scampering red squirrel to warring ants, as kin. As Thoreau wrote at the outset of Walden, "I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived." Tragically, the National Trust for Historic Preservation has listed the Walden Pond and Walden Woods as one of America's 11 most endangered historic places. Blame a proposed Hanscom Airport expansion near Walden. This aviation project would add 6,000 private jet aircraft takeoffs and landings a year, shattering the solitude of enchanted Walden. Environmental threats to Thoreau's retreat aren't limited to those from the air. Just a stone's throw from the pond sits a 35-acre former landfill. Without conservation protection, this parcel could be open for commercial development. The American people should call for the conservation of the former landfill and demand an immediate cease and desist of the jetport enlargement. No developer has the right to destroy the historic essence of Concord, which includes the Minuteman National Battlefield of the American Revolution, the former home of Ralph Waldo Emerson, and the place Louisa May Alcott wrote Little Women. By defending Walden, we save the birthplace of an American literary shrine and honor its inspiration, the sublime of the natural world.
It was 3 years ago this month that the United States completed its withdrawal from Afghanistan. Reason enough for Tracy Smith to take us to a spot in California known as the Rug Mine.
Every morning, Nargis Habib and her family have the same routine. Making breakfast.
Morning.
Packing lunches.
Are you ready?
A hug and kiss from Dad, then off to school. An ordinary day that we all tend to take for granted.
Oh, that's cute.
Do you get in that mode, because I know I do as a mom, where you kind of lose perspective about how lucky you are?
Bye, have a good day at school.
Our minds are so occupied with everyday things, the routine, being so busy that you forget that it's actually a privilege.
Look at all these.
But she has a reminder every time she steps into her garage.
Okay, I would say like 400, 500, 1,000.
It's filled with rugs from her home country, a memory from when she was a little girl.
You grew up surrounded by rugs.
Absolutely.
Nargis grew up in 1990s Taliban-controlled Afghanistan when girls were barred from school. But she and her sisters took classes, hiding in a basement, seated on piles of Afghan rugs.
We were all around a teacher in a dark basement, studying in fear and secret. But it was the rugs that gave us that warmth and coziness and home feeling.
In 2001, the U.S. invaded Afghanistan and kicked out the Taliban. But when the U.S. withdrew in 2021, the Taliban came back into power. By then, Nargis had immigrated to America, but her mother, brother, and younger sister remained there. For the safety of Nargis's family, we cannot show their faces. Her sister was studying to become a doctor. That dream is all but impossible now.
Girls from first to sixth grade can attend school, but after sixth grade, they must stop and stay at home.
Adida Arya is the executive director of the Afghan Literacy Foundation, an NGO that has helped more than 3,000 Afghan families send their kids to school. But with more than half the population in danger of starvation, she says education becomes a casualty for girls and boys.
If you don't have enough food on the table, literacy just goes out the door. You're just trying to survive from one day to the next. So a lot of these families are saying, no school for you, help me find food.
Today, more than 1 million children in Afghanistan, some as young as 6 years old, are working.
Little boys are saying, can you please help me because I'm going to be sent to the unforgiven streets of Kabul to work. We have others reporting that their teenage sisters will be married off for the dowry money or to be able to feed the rest of the family at an early age. Families are making devastating choices in order to guarantee their survival on a daily basis.
Just to feed their kids.
Just to be able to feed their kids. Yeah.
And with the Taliban restricting women from working and leaving their homes, their options are even more dire.
The women that don't have a man to support them or don't have sons to support them, they're starving. And so now these women have to find sources of work within the confines of their homes.
They're beautiful.
This is where Nargis and her rugs come in. She started buying rugs from female artisans in Afghanistan.
Oh, wow, look at the colors.
And selling them out of her garage in San Diego. She called the business the Rug Mine. The hope is a centuries-old Afghan tradition might help solve today's problems.
From the comfort of their homes, they're making rugs, and they're getting paid for that.
Nargis has a contract with each of her artisans that they're paid above the fair and livable wage for their work. In return, they promise not to employ child workers.
How much of a difference can getting a job making rugs do for a woman or a family in Afghanistan?
It makes a huge difference. It provides them financial freedom. Now, if they can't send their daughters to school, at least they're able to send their sons to school.
Now 4 years old, the Rug Mine has worked with over 4,000 female Afghan artisans and has paid them over $500,000. The company sells more than 600 rugs a year and now has a showroom where you can see their ancient handiwork up close.
These colors are gorgeous.
The rugs sell for as low as $100 to as high as $11,000. Each rug can take 3 to 5 months to make. The thread is spun, naturally dyed with fruits and vegetables, woven and tied into thousands of tiny knots.
And each of these knots is hand-tied.
Yeah.
The rugs are then washed. The backside burned to get the sheen just right. It's a painstaking process with a beautiful result. Nargis went back to Afghanistan last summer to hand deliver a pay bonus to each of her artisans. Her daughters came with her and answered questions from other girls their age.
They asked my daughters if they're allowed to go to school. And when I saw those girls, it reminded me of me and my sisters. It truly broke my heart for those young girls.
You obviously can't change that.
No.
But do you feel like in some way what you're doing makes a difference?
If I'm changing a family's life by paying them just a little bit more, then they're able to change their kid's life. But the little changes here and there, it makes a huge difference in Afghanistan.
Both Nancy Pelosi and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez took to the podium at the just-ended Democratic convention. Two names, two women who need no introduction. We think we know them, or do we? Our commentary is from playwright Mario Correa, whose play about Pelosi and AOC is now on stage.
I've never met anyone who didn't already have a hard and fast opinion about Nancy Pelosi or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So when I set out to write a play inspired by the tumultuous relationship between the first woman Speaker of the House,
the bill is passed,
and the youngest woman ever elected to Congress,
and that's where we say no,
I knew my characters would remain nameless, N and A.
Some people have seen this coming for a long time, not the political elite, maybe.
Or the media.
If it's printed on trees, no, it didn't see me coming. No offense.
Why would I take offense? I'm not a tree.
In our incredibly polarized nation, even someone's name can cause us to shut down, to close off. Pelosi, AOC, Trump. Still with me? There is power in a name, but there's also power in putting a name, a label, aside. My first job was in politics as an aide to a congresswoman named Connie Morella. She was and is a Republican. She is also liberal. Yeah, that used to be a thing. I loved my boss and my job. But just by working for a Republican, I'd soon be labeled too. Unknowingly, I'd picked a side. I got out of politics. Fast forward to after our show, a man in the audience, a big theater lover, tells me he's just returned from a week in Milwaukee. I bet I'm the only person here, he whispers, who just came back from nominating Trump. A Trump-loving theater geek. As labels go, unexpected. Over the next few months, we're going to hear a lot of labels thrown around. Childless cat ladies barely scratches the surface. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Karen. Maybe one day our politics will be less prone to labels and name-calling. Maybe we'll even get back to a time when just hearing a person's name doesn't end a conversation. Maybe.
Thanks for listening. I'm Seth Doane. Please join us when our trumpet sounds again next Sunday morning.
If you like this podcast, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a quick survey at wondery.com/survey.
Get one of the most successful broadcasts in television history on your schedule with the 60 Minutes podcast. Hard-hitting investigative reports, news, and culture maker interviews and in-depth profiles are waiting for you in every episode. Listen to 60 Minutes ad-free on Wondery Plus.
I'm Dan Taberski. In 2011, something strange began to happen at the high school in Leroy, New York.
I was like at my locker and she came up to me and she was like stuttering super bad. I'm like, stop f***ing around. She's like, I can't.
A mystery illness, bizarre symptoms, and spreading fast.
It's like doubling and tripling and it's all these girls.
With a diagnosis, the state tried to keep on the down low.
Everybody thought I was holding something back.
Well, you were holding something back intentionally.
Yeah.
You know, it's hysteria. It's all in your head. It's not physical. Oh my gosh, you're exaggerating.
Is this the largest mass hysteria since the witches of Salem? Or is it something else entirely?
Something's wrong here. Something's not right.
Leroy was the new Dateline and everyone was trying to solve the murder.
A new limited series from Wondery and Pineapple Street Studios. Hysterical. Follow Hysterical on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Hysterical early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Paramount Podcasts.